Wake Up Call continues now on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Time for the good.
That's really nice.
The bad.
That's the bad guy.
And the dumb.
What an idiot. Oh, what a loser.
No, it's not just the good, the bad, and the dumb. It is the Valentine's Day edition of the good, the bad, and the dumb. It's good, bad, dumb. Let's get the good of the day.
Well, we love this guy.
Yeah, okay.
I don't know. I mean, maybe people love this guy, especially in Philly, they love this guy. But Bryce Harper.
Hey!
Bryce Harper was walking through Sky Harbor Airport in Phoenix.
Right.
A young fan said, hey, man, can I get a picture? Not only did he do that, he took off one of his shoes that he was wearing, signed it, and gave it to the little kid.
How great is that?
So he walked around the airport with just one shoe on for the rest of the time.
Bryce Harper, that is great.
Man amongst the people.
By the way, if you're an athlete and you say no to autographs and stuff, I know it gets weary, but if you say no to kids, what do you do? How can you live with yourself?
Yeah.
Like, I know you don't want to get mobbed, but Lord knows I've not lived that existence, so I don't know what it's like. It must be annoying. But at the same time, it's got to be kind of like, all right, well, I do want to be appreciative of people who look up to me. So, yeah, here's a shoe.
It is weird when people recognize you, though.
Yeah, that is,
now, we'll
too.
Give that up. I mean, I'm not mobbed or anything, but every once in a while it happens, like, hey, aren't you? And I'm like,
And I think all of us have seen famous people at airports before, right?
Oh,
I
mean, yeah.
Yeah, everybody is, like, if you travel enough, you're going to run into somebody famous at an airport.
You know, who's the last famous person that you were, like, non-sports related, like Hollywood related, that you ran into, like, an airport or something like that?
That's a good question. The last famous person I remember seeing in an airport was Mean Gene Okerlund.
All right.
The late Mean Gene Okerlund. He was not upset, but he was concerned about a flight being delayed that he needed to catch because he was at the ticket counter. And he was kind of like, he was really serious.
Yeah.
Because I know some people were kind of hovering, like they wanted to say hi, but he was kind of, he was in mid-talk, like, I really need to catch this flight, blah, 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 blah. Now, he wasn't yelling at the agent, but it wasn't like a casual conversation either, so I think people were kind of avoiding him. But that was the last real super famous one.
I think mine was, it was Jack McBrayer.
Oh, okay. That is the guy from
30 Rock.
30 Rock, and he did the voice of the hammer guy.
Yeah, Fix-It Felix.
Fix-It Felix. Yes, exactly.
My kids were stoked when he said, hi, kids, or whatever, yeah. You know, however he talks. They're like, we recognize him.
That's right. That's right. So, yeah, but now they're all taking private planes. Did you hear, like, 200 private planes left Phoenix Sky Harbor Airport?
Well, the day I left, there was a guy who worked at the airport. If you've ever been to Sky Harbor, right, there's a train that connects all the terminals together.
Yeah.
So you got to jump on a train to get to from one terminal to another or from the rent-a-car center. It's like a mile-long trip, which I found fascinating. It was fantastic. But there was a guy who jumped on, and he was explaining, he's like, see all the private planes? And there was a plane with a Jaguar's tail. There was two planes with the Cowboy Star.
Nice.
One bigger than the other.
Wow.
But two planes with the Cowboy Star.
That's fantastic.
And he said, this is just the tip of the iceberg. And over the seven airports, they were estimating, about 200, 250 different private planes in the Phoenix area airports.
All congesting our skies with pollution.
Yeah.
That's great.
It's like billions of dollars worth of planes sitting there.
Good for Bryce Harper. That's fantastic. By the way, the part of the Eagles' trifecta of losing championships.
Oh, I'm glad you brought that up.
Is that the bad?
That's the bad of the day.
Oh, okay. Yeah, okay.
Because Philadelphia is in the world record book, Tony.
Yeah.
Because it only took them 99 days to lose three championships.
That's a little over 3 months.
Yeah, so they are the runner-up title town right now.
That's awful.
And maybe not looking good for the Sixers. I don't know.
Oh, wouldn't that be wild if the Sixers could? They're like in second or third place in the Eastern Conference.
Yeah, they could definitely make it.
They could easily do this.
You know, if they lost like the Golden State Warriors again or something. But just to catch everyone up, if you didn't know, if you don't remember, Phillies lost to the Astros in the World Series. Union lost to LAFC in the MLS Cup. And the Eagles lost to the Chiefs in the Super Bowl.
A lot of
Philly fans say, hey, we only lost two championships in 99 days.
Right.
They're not counting the Union.
No, you need to. The MLS has been around for 30 years now.
It's good, been, yeah.
It's
you would have counted it as a win if you wanted.
You certainly would have, yeah.
So let's just keep that right there.
Yes, exactly.
But yeah.
Believe me, I hear it all the time here in Nashville because we have a soccer team at Nashville SC. And people are like, I don't even care about soccer. I was like, you would if they won the cup. I'm telling you. You don't think you would.
You would be
proud. You love this town. And if they were in the MLS Cup finals, you'd be paying attention. Stop it. You would. Don't say you wouldn't. You would. So, all right. Yeah. What's the dumb of the day?
The dumb of the day. I was originally going to talk baseball, but you had already covered that. So I had to switch up. I had the audible.
Okay.
I called Omaha. And I've really find I'm going to love to get your opinion on this, but apparently Greg Olsen is set for a pay cut.
I saw this and I could not believe it.
So,
I couldn't believe it because
right
it's
now,
not a pay cut. It's a significant.
Yeah.
It's a pay
right
stabbing.
Now, right now he's making $10 million a year. He will make $10 million a year next year.
Because Tom Brady is not
Tom
on
Brady is not jumping in. But as soon as
right.
Tom Brady takes over color analyst duties for team number one, Greg Olsen will go from $10 million a year to $3 million a year.
Okay, so there, it does make sense in a way.
Right.
Right, where you say you're the number one guy.
So you get this, but now you're no longer number one.
Now that you're going on the B, C, D team, probably the B team.
B team.
The B team gets paid this. So that's how our business works. It's not like football where you can make $20 million a year and be injured 90% of the time. This is how this works. And your agent goes, okay, but that is a real drop off. That, like, if you went from 10 to 7,
too.
It would be fine, or 10 to 6, but 10 to 3, good
yeah,
Lord.
But it's a real gut check, too. I mean,
right.
I don't even know how you. I mean, if you're Greg Olsen, are you telling your agent, hey, find me something else?
Absolutely. Look, he is young enough, what, late 30s? Right?
Yeah.
Late 30s?
Everyone thought he did a fantastic job this year.
Everybody thought he was great.
And I think the hardest thing for me wouldn't be so much the money. It would be the fact that you're tossing me aside because you are assuming he'll be better.
Right, exactly.
You don't even know it yet.
You don't even know. It's not like you're plucking a guy from CBS that's a rising star on the analyst chair. You're plucking Tom Brady, who has shown no ability to do this, by the way. None, other than sitting in podcasts and yapping, but not doing it in real time, analysis with real preparation.
The only ability he's ever shown is that, you know, obviously the guy knows how to play football.
Right, exactly.
That's it.
And Greg Olsen put in the work. Like we said, it's a lot of work. It is a lot more work than people think. It's a lot more work than people think. And some guys can't do it. Look, there's a reason why you've seen people do games and then you don't see people do games anymore. It's not a business where, like in the NFL, when a guy gets cut, you go, "Yeah, it's big news, he got cut." TV work, it's like they just disappear. They just don't show up again. Outside of maybe Drew Brees, that made news when he wasn't very good at television. But most of the time you'll see an analyst on a D game and then they just disappear. A lot of it because they quit. A lot of it's because they're no good. And it's really tough. It's a tough job. You travel a lot, and you are talking to people all the time, and you're doing the same kind of repetitive work that gets a little old after a while. You're going over stats, you're going over film, you're going over stuff, and there's no other, like, you're not doing it to win a game. You're just doing it to be proficient at just talking about a game.
Honestly, I mean, I'm not saying that it's harder, but I think there's more work needed to be put in than it is for an actual football game.
Absolutely. And you don't have, even though you've got producers and executive producers and statisticians and whatnot, it's not like doing it for a football game where there's 100 people part of the goal of winning. And here's the other thing is, you're right with Olsen. He's good enough that CBS, with the problems that Romo is having publicly, you could almost see CBS going, we're not going to replace Romo with him, but we're bringing him on our roster to one day replace Romo with him. Right, like we can almost see that where we're going to get you a little bit more, and you come over here.
I don't know if I could work for it. You know what I mean? It's like you're bringing him in
really
because
tough.
Of name alone.
That's
There's
it.
No ability whatsoever. You're just bringing
it's
him in
really
because,
tough.
Yeah, and you're paying. I mean, and for Fox, you have to do it. You have to get your money's worth. I mean, God, I wouldn't be surprised if Brady's calling golf matches and NASCAR, you know, things he has no clue about.
Yeah, they're
going to
have him doing NASCAR with the Fox team because they're paying him so much money.
Yeah, it's like, we got to get our money's worth. I mean, he's going to be an analyst here and there, and all of a sudden he's talking about political affairs. Maybe he'll cover the 2024 presidential election.
Yeah, I can almost see it now. Mike Joy going, we're here at Rockingham. Tom Brady, you drove a car one time. What was that like to put the key in the ignition and start it up and put it into drive? And Brady just goes on. Well, one time I had to go to the store, and it was really tough. I had to kind of navigate a neighborhood, and there was a kid playing ball on the side. So I understand what these drivers are going to be going through for the next 2.5 hours. Yeah, they're getting their money worth with Tom Brady. They're going to have him do everything, man. He's going to make guest appearances on their shows. He's going to be on TV sitcoms, drama shows. He might be an ER doctor on one of their shows. If you're paying him that much money, you won't be able to go anywhere without seeing his face promoting something. Oh goodness, that's a good, the bad, and the dumb. Happy Valentine's Day. We're going to continue more on the NFL. We got Eric Edholm joining us from NFL.com to talk Super Bowl and the offseason. It could be busy. Next, we continue. It's Wake Up Call.